Good morning, family. How are you? Good, good. Up. That's a title, but I might not talk about that because I feel the Spirit might lead me somewhere else. If that's okay with you, okay with the Spirit, we'll move on. You know that song we sang, There is a Redeemer? And he goes, when I stand in glory, I will see his face, and there I will serve my King forever in that holy place. Saying amen?
Amen.
You know, that's God's promise that we will see his face and we will be in glory with him. And that's something that we, as a body of Christ, can take out to the world, to the nation, on our own doorstep. And I can't start without telling a joke, can I? What do you call an Asian good-looking guy? As if. Can we have this slide? Oh, cool. I haven't got the click. Or the green button. The Great Commission. I'll just read you what Jesus said. He goes, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, when he said that to his 12 disciples, they turned the world upside down. They didn't say to Jesus, oh, I'm busy. I have to watch Joyce Myers on TV. I haven't got the time to go. But he said, go. He didn't say, he goes, go and multiply and share the gospel. And you know, when I read about the chapter after that, it says, there's multitudes of people came and daily they were added on. 3,000 people, 4,000 people when they heard the word of God. And what I want to share this morning is that we've got that in us. He chose 12 disciples. I'm sure there's more than 12 here this morning. He chose the weak. He didn't choose, you know, businessmen. He chose people like us to go out and to serve him in spirit and truth. I just love this scripture. I just love it. I'm clicking. Oh, good. You know, we all have a story to tell. God's story was that he was God's son, that he died and rose again. Third day he rose again and he seated at the right hand of the Father. That's God's story. Our story is that we are his disciples. Are we not? Do you agree? What do we have to give? We've got the good news of Jesus, have we not? Do you know, and I just want to share how I got involved in mission. And one evening, I was feeling that I've been taken for granted by my sons. So I was having a pity party moment. So I thought, right, I'm going to run away from home. 40 plus. I thought, I've had enough of my sons taking me for granted, so I'm going to run away from home. So I just left quietly out the front door. It was 11 o'clock at night. And I phoned my friend in London, and they said, just get a taxi, we'll pay for it. So I phoned the cab, and they said, it's going to be £50. And I thought, I can't justify my friends paying £50. So I was sitting outside Arthur Hill swimming pool, and I thought, what shall I do? And I saw number 17 bus. And I thought, I'll get on this number 17 bus. And in those days, I used to work for Thames Valley Police. So you could travel for free. That's one of the perks. So I showed him my ID, and he allowed me on. And when we got up to 3 turns, just before that, he called me. And I was thinking, why is he calling me? He goes, you work for the police. I said, yeah, but I'm off duty. He goes, no, there's some guys upstairs. I think they're going to might make trouble with me when they come down at the last bus stop. He goes, can you just come and stand with me? I was thinking, great, I've just run away from home. I'm having a pity party, and you want me to stand next to you as a bodyguard? So I thought, okay. So I'm standing there, and these guys, three guys, mean-looking guys, 6 feet, I don't know, whatever, they come, and this walk one, I'm like this, run up, all right, go like that. And then I'm looking one of these up his nostrils, because he's so tall, and my eyes is there, in his chest, and I'm thinking, oh my God, my legs are wobbling, but they just calmly walked out of the bus, and the driver goes, he goes, what happened there? He goes, they've been making trouble all this time. He goes, what was it you did? I said, I've got Jesus. So for 10 minutes while he's waiting to turn around, go back down Wokingham Road and to Tilehurst Road, I shared the gospel with him. And I was so excited. I thought, this is great. You know, number 17 bus. So we're going down the road, and then I used to always carry knickknacks in my bag, always. That's been Asian. You never know when they're needed. So this guy in front of me, God said his sugar level is really low and there's no shops open. He needs a sugar fix quickly. So take out your chocolate bar. And I'm thinking, I've run away from home. I need this chocolate bar. And he said, give this man. So I tapped him on the shoulder. And I said, excuse me. I said, your sugar level's low and you need this. Here you go. And he turned around and he goes, are you drunk? I said, I don't drink. He goes, how do you know my sugar level's down? I said, the Holy Spirit told me. And then I was able to explain what the Holy Spirit was. So that's good. So by now, I'm riding up and down this bus, number 7, to Tilehurst and back to Tree Town. And honestly, I'm telling you, I'm on a high because I thought, this is great. I could do this every night, run away from home. And then it's 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm sitting in St. Mary's Butt. I'm sitting there thinking, there's no more 17 buses now. They run until 2 o'clock. And what shall I do? So I'm sitting there, but I knew God didn't want me to go home. And then just at that moment, this young girl came. She must have been about 16, 17. And she just sat down, and I don't know, I just put my hand on her hand, and tears were pouring down my face. And she looked at me, and she goes, why are you crying? And I even thought to myself, why am I crying? I says, you know, I said, it's not my tears, it's God's tears for you. He understands, because God revealed to me that she's gone about to commit suicide. Because she's been abused. And she couldn't tell her parents because it's a relative. So she had this burden on her shoulders. And I said, you know what? I said, God loves you. And he's put me here this time to share you Jesus' love. And she goes, but I've never been loved. I don't feel loved. I said, but God loves you. And I said, if you want, he can come into your heart right now. I said, he can be that friend to you, the nobody. He can understand your pain and sorrow. That's what we are called to do, are we not? To be disciples, to be good news, to be light. Do you know that we have that amazing light in us? Did you know? Come on. Do you know who lives in you? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And she goes, how do I do that? So I led her in the sinner's prayer. Then I made a call to one of my friends to take her home because she needed care. She needed that love. And they were going to take her back home tomorrow to see her parents so they could. So I gave them my mobile number. And she left. And, you know, I was thinking, oh, I need to go home now. It's so dark here, and there's nobody around. So I got a taxi home, and when I got inside the home, they didn't even know I'd gone. My boys didn't even know I'd disappeared. What insult to me. But, you know, that got my passion going for sharing the gospel. That was the moment I needed, because I was doing mission in Southall, I was doing book evangelism, I was out there 3 times a week, and Sunday I was in the church, and then God said to me, the mission is on your own doorstep. Did you like my title? And my door, God said, mission is on your own doorstep. And you know, one of the most profound stories I can tell, and it's amazing, you know, that God puts you at the right place, at the right time to bring that word to that person who needs it. And you know, there's people out there dying. They need us to share that word with them. They need to see Jesus in us And I'm going to challenge you this morning, nicely, Neville, that we've got a calling. And yes, it's nice to stay at home and have tea parties and high teas, but you know, we're not called to do that. We are called to go out there and serve him in the community. And you know, like Sean, he said a few months ago, it was my first Sunday here when he talked about living in the bubble. We need to get out of that bubble because it's so safe to be in that bubble on a Sunday morning. We've got our Christian friends, we've got our cell groups, we've got friendship groups for Christians, we've got all these kind of things. But you know, we're living in a bubble because it's safe to be with other Christians. My goodness, I can tell you, it's a different world when you get out there. And you've got the fundamentalist Muslims shouting down your face. You've got the Buddhists telling you they're right. You've got the Hindus and the Sikhs. They're telling their religion is right. But you know, we've got truth. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. And the life that we have to give these people. Am I making sense? So, one day I decided I was going to go to Bradford visit my family. And I got the ticket, and it was a really reasonable ticket because I'm a Yorkshire lass. I like bargains. I haggle. Even with train companies, I haggle. So I got this really cheap ticket, and I was going to go and woke up the next morning, and God said, you're not going. I said, but I'll lose my ticket. He goes, you're not going. I said, I need to go because tickets are expensive. He goes, you're not going. So that evening, they had a Bible study in my friend's house. I was staying with them for a few days. And now it's like 6:30 at evening, and I'm thinking, Lord, I've canceled my ticket and my journey, and nothing's happening. What's going on? And 8:30, this couple came. He was from Singapore, and he, you know, his friends were Christians. And he came in, this guy. And I thought, Lord, do you want me to witness to him? If you do, you better hurry up. It's time for my bed. I said, you know, I've canceled my ticket. I'm going to Yorkshire to see my family. And I'm sitting here waiting. Do you know, this is the kind of conversations I have with God all the time. And he tells me off because be patient. And then all of a sudden, I got a word for this young guy. And all I could see was that he was being angry with his mother. He was so angry, he hurt her, he got involved with drug barons there, he was in so much debt and he fled here and his families were being threatened and his mother was trying to come here and her visa got refused 5 times. I said to him, I said, you know what, Keith? I said, God can help you. He goes, I'm a Buddhist. He goes, I don't like these Christian people, they're hypocrites. You know, they don't love you. They say, come to church. And when you go to church, they just put you in a chair and they forget about you. And I thought, not all Christians are like that. Not all churches are like that. I said, God loves you. It's not, you know, we are human beings. We will let each other down. But I said, God won't let you down. I said, if you want to pray. And, you know, then he showed me. Then I was telling him about his mother. And it's like light bulb moment gone in this man's life. And he realized he needed a savior right there, right then. I said, I can lead you in the sinner's prayer. And we led him in the sinner's prayer. And I said, when you go home, I said, God's going to be with you. And he's going to see your tears. And I said, we're going to pray for your mother that she'll get her visa. And as a Buddhist, and you know, he has this charms, they call them, the chant. And you never take them off. And even though you cut them, you can't cut them because they're so strong. Because that's, you know, a reminder to him that he's a Buddhist. Well, he got home. And he just asked Jesus to help him. And you know what happened? The chains fell off. Just fell off. And the Buddhist picture on the wall fell off. Don't we serve an awesome God? How amazing is that? That he was set free in body, mind, and spirit. And a week later, his mom got a visa. And you know, I had the honor of baptizing him. You know, and the testimony that he shared, 2 more Buddhists came to know the Lord. his friends that he went and shared the gospel with. He's back in Singapore and sharing the gospel over there. You know, you don't know the stories we tell. You don't know what seeds we plant in people's lives. You might think, oh yeah, but I don't see my friends coming to Jesus. I've been praying for 20 years. Well, excuse me. I've been praying for my family 25 years. So beat that. But you never know when that seed will flourish. God knows. He wants us to be faithful, to share the gospel, and he does the rest. We have to be obedient. What are we going to do as a church? I'm asking a church a big question. What are we doing as individuals? How are we going out there reaching the and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because he's given us all power and authority, has he not? Hasn't he, Malcolm? He has. What has he given you? Yeah, to do what? To raise the dead. You know that? I'm waiting for that moment. I said, Jesus, I want to raise the dead. And he says, yes, you can. Why can't I? He said he's given us authority all over things to heal, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. Isn't it wonderful that our gospel, our message, sets people free? I'll just tell you another quick story, then I'll move on. The 8:11 train from Reading to Bristol Temple Mead. 4th of July, 2012. I was on the trains. I was going to Bristol to speak at a women's conference. And I think it was Basingstoke or Winchester, wherever this lady got on. And straight away, I felt in my spirit that she was so unhappy. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know this lady, but I need to share because you put it on my heart. So I said, excuse me. I said, are you unhappy? Well, you had to be direct. You can't skate around this issue. God said she's unhappy. So I said, are you unhappy? And she looked at me and I'm like, no. And then she's moving close to the window. And then she looked at me after 10 minutes. She goes, why do you say that? I said, the Holy Spirit just revealed that, Holy, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I believe in the Lord Jesus, my Lord and Savior. And I said, he just said you're unhappy. And he wants to share. He wants you to know that he's concerned with your unhappiness. Then after another 3 minutes, she goes, well, actually, I'm very unhappy. And I said, do you want to tell me? She goes, no. So I've got 10 minutes to arrive at Bristol Temple Mead. And I'm thinking, Lord, there's something going on there. I need to finish this. And then after 3 more minutes, she goes, I want to tell you, she goes, that my family home, that I've been there 20 years, has been sold and my parents got divorced. And it's breaking my heart. And she goes, I don't know who to turn to. She was in the army. She goes, you know, people there don't understand. They're not Christian. She goes, but I said, you know, I know a man who does understand. And I know a man who's concerned with you. I know that he knows that he's got a plan and a purpose for you. And I said, if you want to accept him, I can lead you in the prayer now. And she goes, no, I don't. So I'm thinking, now I've got 3 minutes to my station. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, please. I'm thinking that. And then she just reaches out. She goes, please, can you lead me in the sinner's prayer? And I've got 1 minute left. See, God always does it, doesn't he? He always does it with me. He always gives me time constraint when I'm thinking, oh, nothing's happening. And then he moves. He moves. And it's such a joy, you know, to see. I wish I had a camera, you know, to see the before and the after picture. You know, before, they didn't know Jesus to after. It's like their face is shining. They're like transformed and they know that there's a man who loves them. There's a man who died for them. There's a man who rose again. There's a man who's going to come back. And nobody's ever, ever said to them about Jesus. You know, like this young lady, was it Natalie, who shared this morning about the color conference? See, I need a brownie point, Kate. Yes. I missed Joyce Myers to come back yesterday so I could prepare for today. But what Natalie shared is so true, my brothers and sisters in Christ, my family, that we need to share the gospel. You never know what that person's going through. You never know, they might just go and commit suicide not knowing the Lord. They might just go back on those drugs because nobody's given the word. And somebody said, you know, I didn't know that I could have this. I didn't know I couldn't get to know Jesus because nobody explained to me. So there's your challenge. Let me see if I can go on to the next slide. Ooh, I like this. From global mission to doorstep mission, that's where we are this morning. You've got to ask yourself, how am I going to be involved with that? You had people going to Uganda. Wasn't that transforming your life? I've got some little notes here. So, global mission. You know, you've got Tear Fund, you've got Open Doors, you've got Barnabas, you've got Release International, you've got UK Mission Workers, you've got Interserve, which I've joined as a UK mission worker, then you've got LifeSpring. You know, from here starts our global mission, but not to the outside world, not abroad, but here outside our own doorstep. So where's Sally? Sally? Come up, Sally. This is my visual aid. Come on, Sally, what are you doing? Where are you going?
I'm walking, that's right.
Why are you walking? What are you taking with you?
Jesus.
What is your feet carrying?
I don't know.
Not just your shoes.
My socks.
She's taking what? Come on, guys. She's taking good news of Jesus. Where? To the lost, the lonely, the marginalized, the brokenhearted, crushed in spirit, abused people, broken people. And she's taking the good news of Jesus. And you know, we all carry that. And I'm going to do something a bit different now. Is that all right, Neville? Right, I want people to come up who are involved in outreach mission here on our own doorstep. So Faith, Cafe 12. Anybody come up, Cafe 12? Tigger's Toddlers? Family Craft? CCA? Street Pastors? Oh, you're there, you're there. The Crossing Town? Curry Club? And Choir? Cell Group Leaders Reaching Out? English Unplugged? Healing on the Street.
His kids.
His
kids.
Easy kids.
His kids.
This kids.
His kids. The dad's group.
Oh, the dad's group. His kids. Sorry. And anybody I've missed out, just come up front. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Don't you think, guys? Look, these are the people that are taking the good news of Jesus. Let me take my next step. You know, this is what, how we can reach. And it says, where is your doorstep? Where is your doorstep? Where's Malcolm, where is your doorstep?
Everywhere.
Faith, where is your doorstep?
Out on the streets of Reading.
Doing what?
Sharing the gospel, looking after people.
Where is your doorstep?
Street pastors.
Where is your doorstep, Neville?
Street pastors.
Not as a pastor. Where is your doorstep?
Tickets, toddlers, and street pastors.
There you go. Give them a clap, guys. Give them a clap. No, you can't. Right. This is a question for you guys. What story are you going to share about church? What is your story about church? Question mark. What are you going to do to reach the unsaved? I'm going to leave that with you, but I'm going to pray for these guys. Is that okay? Father God, I thank you for this lovely bunch of people. Father God, thank you for their heart. Thank you for their passion. Thank you for the vision. Thank you the way you use them. Thank you, Lord God, that you live in them. And Father God, when they go out, they're taking Jesus and they're sharing the gospel. Father God, mission is on our doorstep. And Father God, as the church, we can, the 12 disciples changed the nation. And Father God, I pray that more and more people will join these teams. And Father God, that we will change Reading. That, Lord God, we're going to see people healed. We're going to see people set free. We're going to even raise the dead, Father God. We want our church to be full, Father God. We want to be out in the streets. And, Father God, I pray for this each individual person here, that you will just refresh them, motivate them. And, Father God, I pray you'll multiply their team, that they have so many volunteers wanting to reach the unsaved. Because, Lord God, that is your great commission on our lives. And, Father, I thank you. Use them, Father God, for your glory. And Lord God, when we stand in glory, we will see your face. And there you're going to say, good and faithful servant. Lord God, I don't want to go to heaven and God asking me, what did you do? Why didn't you reach that man or that, reach that woman or that child? I want you to say to me, good and faithful servant, well done. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We give you glory and honor and thanks. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. We glorify you here this morning. The Father God, you're so concerned with our nation. You are so concerned with us, Father God. You're giving us a hope, everlasting, eternal life. And Lord God, now it's our job to pass that on. And Father God, to raise a new generation that'll be out in the streets preaching your word. Father God, getting along with side that lonely man, that homeless man, that street woman. Father God, we are the beacon of your church. And I want you to encourage this church to be a beacon and to be a light. Because they got something so amazing in them, Father God. I just pray that they will know what they have is so good. Is so good, Father God. You are so good. You are so holy. You are so awesome, Father God. Help us to be the church that you want, Father God. But I pray this morning you'll speak to the individuals sitting here. Church is not just about Sunday coming, but it's about what they do during the week. That's what matters, Father God. How they carry their life from Monday to Saturday and then come to church. It's good to be in fellowship, but that's not what we're about. We're about to save the lost. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can go now.
Just a few minutes.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to finish soon. So if there's anybody that wants prayer, that God has just spoken to your heart this morning, there'll be the prayer team available. I know that when Ian was here from Yorkshire, see, all the best people come from Yorkshire. You know, he was here and he made an altar call and people came up. But if there's people that are not here that Sunday, if you really feel that God is saying something to you this morning, that he wants you to be that good news. We're all good news. Why? Because we have a living Savior. You can't say, oh, I'm too young, or I'm too old, I'm too frail. We've all got, well, I have the gift of the gab. And we need to use that tool to bring the hurting inside, but not the inside. We need to be outward looking. You know, and just... there's so many stories, but I just want to finish with one. My last one. I've got a few minutes. There's a guy at YMCA. He was a very young guy. He just lost his mother through cancer. And I was able to just share, you know, just to be a mother type to him. Because all those people call me mommy. I don't know why. People don't call me young. They always call me mommy. And... you know, God just showed me that he used to go to his mother's grave and shout and scream at her because he was so angry that she died and left him and his sister in care. They had no relatives, so they ended up in YMCA. And then God showed me that how his mother used to make sandwiches and take them to seaside trips and how she bought him a bicycle for his fifth birthday. You see, God gives you a gift and a gift of knowledge that he's given me. And I was able to see that, and I shared that only he knew about that. Nobody else knew that he went to the graveside and swore and shouted and, you know, said horrible things to his mother. And I said, you know, I said, you need to ask God to help you to forgive your mom and for God to forgive you because it's wrong to shout and scream in the graveyard to your dead mom. And I was able to just tell him about his happy memories as in when he was growing up. And he was 17, and he accepted Jesus there. And then 2 weeks later, the six more young people got saved. You see, it just takes one. It takes one to light that ignition, and it just, you know, it needs to burn, doesn't it? And we are that. So, thank you guys for listening to me. I hope you weren't too bored. But if you feel you want to have the more power and you want to have the more discernment, just come up for prayer. We'll be there at the end. Just come up for prayer. We'll pray for you.
Thanks, Lord.